ध्यायामो धवलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिं अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् नित्यं निरन्तरानन्दं चिद्घनं ब्रह्मनिर्भयं श्रुत्या तर्कानुभूतिभ्याम् अहमस्म्यद्वयं सदा। So we saw in the previous days, we saw Krishna speaking about the world as, or comparing the world with a tree, with a vriksham, ashwatta vriksham, which is anityam, asukham. And he also briefly gave the way out of this anityam, asukham, lokam as asanga shastram. So asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. So that Asanga Shastram was explained by Shankara as an axe which is strengthened by Vivekam and Abhyasam. So that is about cutting the tree through Asangam. So the same thing, like as it's been explained a little more, the steps are how a person, how a seeker attains that tameva chadhyam purusham prapadhye, that first adhya purusha, the supreme being, yasmin gatana nivartanti bhuyah, from that, after attaining which a person doesn't return back. So that is being explained in the fifth shloka, which we will discuss today. So it's a very important shloka. It gives a lot of steps through which a seeker progresses to the ultimate reality. So everything that a person wants, or not everything, but just one thing, whatever we want in life, that is just one thing. It is anandam, or being happy, content, peace, the mind being peaceful. So able to remain, able to rejoice in bliss, untainted by sorrow. That is the goal of life. That is the goal of each and every person's life, whether it is wicked people or good people, whether it is worldly people or spiritual people, whether it is a grihastha or a sannyasi. So irrespective of any distinction, everybody wants to be happy. So why do people like Ramalingam Raju or others do bad deeds? Because they also want to be happy. They think through that, through by getting money, by getting fame, a person can be happy. Therefore, they try that out. We also do other things. We do things to become happy or to remain happy. We try to please our parents. We try to please our family. We try to please our friends. Although that is because we want to be happy. It is happiness that is the goal of life. If for everyone, it's not about one person or another person. Everyone, for everyone, each and every person in the world has the same goal, the goal to be ever blissful. And it's a goal. It's not like the happiness that a person gets out of some activities. So for example, we may eat some very good food. That will give us happiness, but that happiness is temporary. It's not it's unlimited, it's not infinite. It will vanish after time. So whatever made of or any other paper frauds did, they thought they would get happiness. They get happiness only for a particular period of time. After that, their life becomes very bad. But we may think, we may look at them and say, oh, what bad people. But aren't we as bad as them? Any person who doesn't have eternal bliss is as bad as them. We try whatever we think is right, whatever we think or whatever is acceptable for us, we take resort to those means in order to get happiness. So there is no dharma and adharma. So though there are people who can say dharma, there is something called dharma. How can I? My dharma is to marry. My dharma is to protect people around me. So that's what many people will say. There is no dharma like that. Dharma and adharma, Amma herself has said, dharma and adharma is something, it's based on a person. It's not something which is constant. We cannot generalize dharma like that. It depends on the person, it depends on the person's activities, it depends on the person's nature. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah tasya kartaram ahamiddhi. I forgot the rest, but first line is what is important. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah. The chaturvarna or varnashramam, whatever is there, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, that has been created by me, but based on guna and karma, based on a person's qualities, a person's inner temperament and his karma, whatever activities he is doing. So all those, like for the dharma of a brahmin is not a dharma for a kshatriya. The dharma of a kshatriya is to kill people. The dharma of a brahmin is to never kill anyone. So those both, like if we look at both, if we try to generalize and say killing is harmful, then kshatriyas will have no existence whatsoever. So there is dharma and adharma, we cannot generalize like that. But the shastras do speak about one dharma, the primary dharma of manishya janmam, which is realization, eternal bliss. And if we have to get that eternal bliss cannot be achieved in many ways. Though Swami Vivekananda explained the various paths, that doesn't mean that we have all those paths. Oh, you choose your own path, you'll get moksha. Follow this, you'll get moksha. If anybody tells us that, okay, follow this, you will get moksha, then we can immediately say, oh, if you have created your own path, and you say that, come, follow, and you'll get moksha, then we can just reject it, because moksha cannot be achieved in many ways. Moksha means kampurna dukkha vimochanam or dukkha nivritti and sukha prapti. Removal of sorrow and rejoicing in bliss, that can happen through one and only one way. Yes, it is only one way. Tameva vidhitva atimrityum eti nanya panta vimuktaye. Tameva vidvan amrtayeha bhavati nanya panta vidyate ayanaya. The shastras are very clear about it, that there are no different ways, there are no two ways for realization. There are different paths, but those paths lead to that one goal, that one step that a person has to take, the final step, and that we cannot get rid of it. Oh, jnanam. Oh, you mean like it is knowing that I am the Supreme Being, I am Advitiya Satyam. I think like I'll skip it, I'll let it pass. I'm not good at jnanam. I will follow bhakti. I'll follow Amma. I'll surrender at Amma's feet and I'll get moksha. If that is the case, we would have like 3,000 or 4,000 Jivan Muktas living in Amma's ashram. And out of the millions of people who meet Amma, who are devotees of Amma, at least 50% will be realized. So it cannot be achieved that way. Realization uddharel atman atmanam natmanam avasadayet. Atmaiva hi atmano bandhu, atmaiva ripur atmanah. Ultimately, it comes down to us. It comes down to the individual. And realization cannot be given by any Mahatmas. A Mahatma can only guide us. So nobody can give us moksha. Moksha is what we get ourselves. And that moksha is knowing that there is no duality here. So moksha, when a person starts seeking moksha, a person seeks moksha because like he is so desperate with the world and he doesn't have anything else. If at all like I have lot of money, I will not learn Vedanta at all. That's a wrong statement. Many people think it that way. Vedanta is when you get become very sad, depressed with life, then you learn it. Or when you are very old, that you don't have anybody to take care of you, then you learn. Then what can you learn? You don't even have any hair, you don't have eyesight, you don't have memory, you don't have teeth. What will you learn? You'll not learn anything. You cannot. So it's a wrong notion about Vedanta. So a person who understands that the world is sorrowful, such a person is a person who really seeks, who is a Vedantin. A Vedantin is one who knows that the world is sorrowful and just and wants to get rid of the sorrow. So when a Vedantin wants to get rid of sorrow, and when he starts in the path, he realizes, the Guru tells him, the Shastras tell him that, oh my dear child, there is no Dukkham here. What you thought as Dukkham is there and you want to get rid of it, that is not at all there. Dukkham is part of this temporary world. The world itself doesn't exist, then how can there be any Dukkham? Your very nature is Advitiya Satyam. You are that. Sa Atma Tattvamasi Shvetaketo. Oh Shvetaketo, you are that. Tattvamasi, you are that. So that means the Shastras and the Guru tell us that you are the Self. You are Ananda Swarupam. So that means it is knowing that I am that. Somehow we have forgotten our own very nature. So we have to just remind ourselves that we are the Self. And the duality that is seen is just Nama Rupam, in that one entity which is our very nature, which pulsates. The Sphuranam that happens inside us, I exist, aham, aham. That Sphuranam, that is the Atman, that is Chit. And that is the substratum of the entire world. That is what is seen as the entire world. So no Mahatma can tell us that, okay, we can skip that. Oh, no, you don't have to have Jnanam. You can skip that. You don't find Amma telling that. Many people who say that, Amma says, okay, you have to live this, you have to live that. Amma says that, do service to the world. We have to understand clearly the words that a Mahatma says. The words of a Mahatma is never faulty. Their words are so careful. Like if we look at Gita, we'll understand. Even places where Krishna uses the same or words which mean the same thing twice in a shloka, there is a purpose for that. It's because he wants to emphasize. So a Mahatma will not speak more than what is required. There will be no over usage of words or under usage of words. So Amma says that do service to the world. She doesn't say do only service to the world. And Amma doesn't say do service to the world and you will realize. She says do service to the world. That's it. We can speculate on why to do service in the world. But if we ask Amma, Amma will say, if you do service to the world, your mind will get purified. And once the mind gets purified, then such a person will be able to apprehend Ishvara. Such a person will be able to get moksha and realize that everything is one Ishvara. So, tatra apina mahatmya jnana vismrati apavadah. So Narada himself says that in true bhakti, there also mahatmya jnana vismrati. Forgetting the true nature of Ishvara is not there. There also jnanam is there. So gopis are the best example for bhakti. Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan akila dehinam antaratma drik. So the gopis say in Gopika Geetam or Gopi Geetam that Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan. Oh Krishna, you are not Nanda, the Nanda Gopa's son who is close with the gopis. Akila dehinam antaratmadrik. You are the indwelling self. You are the essence of all beings. So there itself we find knowledge there. So nobody can say that, okay, I don't want knowledge. We have to learn the scriptures. We have to follow jnanam. Jnanam is not something which is optional. There is no optional for jnanam. a person realizes when he knows that the entire world is only Ishvara. Without that, a person cannot realize at all. So that's one thing which we have to remember at all times, else we can get distracted. So most of the times we are focused on the world. Therefore, in the starting, we have to get rid of duality, dual notion. So dual notions start with the notion of I and mine, or ahankaram, what is called as ahankaram. Aham and mama. So ahankaram or ego acts as aham, I and mama, mine. So the word ahankaram is not the exact English word as ego. So ego means like when you are proud. So it's not just pride. Any sense of individuality is ahankaram. And it starts, how do we define individuality? Individuality is, in the entire world, we differentiate ourselves from the world. And we form a group of our own. So if the world is a huge, big circle, we create a subset of the world and say, this is my circle. I and my people form this circle. So that's why many times we are bothered about just the people in that circle. We are not bothered about anything else. We are not bothered about what is going to happen to employees of Satyam. We are not bothered about how many people have incurred billions of dollars losses in the Madoff or Madoff scam. We are not bothered about that. We are not bothered about what people are telling, that unemployment rate has gone from 5 or 6% to 7%. In the last 1 year, it has gone from 4% to 7% in US. We are not bothered about any of those. But anytime our parents, a call comes from our parents saying that, okay, I am ill, I have to be hospitalized, then we are bothered, we get worried. That's because we have created a subset of the world, and we have tagged it as my people, my set. So anytime we meet a person, we say, like, we identify as my people, not my people. So not my people, it is again categorized as people I hate or people I don't know at all. Indifferent attitude. So that means priyam, apriyam, and indifferent. Liking, unliking, or like, dislike, and indifferent. So it all starts from there. Dukkham starts from that state. So once we create a subset of the world, something happens to this subset, then we get affected. So that is because when we create this subset, what does it matter if I create a subset? What does it matter if I say, like, have a group? It's fine. It's fine to have groups. Amma has groups. Amma has a mission of her own. Ramakrishna Paramahansa has his group, set of people around him. So there's nothing wrong with groups. But groups are like, when we create this subset, we get attached to the subset. So out of this group or individuality arises attachment. Attachment means again attachment and aversion. So this attachment, what does this attachment do? This attachment enforces the view that duality is real, which means it takes us further away from the Atman. Atman or Ishvara is what? Ishvara is Advitiyam or Advaitam. Whenever we remember that the entire world is Ishvara, there is no Dvaitam at all, there is no duality whatsoever, then we are thinking, remembering Ishvara. So here, individuality, attachment, aversion, that means we are focusing on duality. Duality gets strengthened, we forget Ishvara. And once we forget Ishvara, paranchikhani vetranat swayam bhuhu tasmat paran pashin nantaratman kashchit dhiraha pratyagatmanam aikshat avritta chakshu amritatvam icchan. So once we forget Ishvara, so Katopanishad says that Ishvara occurs the sense organs, that they will not be able to seek Ishvara, they will go outside. So only wise people, only courageous people who go behind, who control the sense organs and go beyond them, they'll be able to get anandam. Parachakaman anuyanti balah, anuyanti balah, te mrityoryanti vitatasya pasham. Atadira amritatvam viditva dhruvam adhruveshvih na prarthayante. So there itself, the Upanishad says that what would happen when a person seeks worldly objects? A person seeks worldly objects, then he gets attached to it, and that attachment leads him to death. That means a person takes birth and death. So they are balas. They are like children running behind things, not knowing that things are dangerous. Those things will cause them trouble. Whereas wise people will know that, okay, these adhruvam. So dhruvam adhruveshu ihana prarthayanti. Adhruveshu, in the adhruva vastu. Dhruvam means eternal. Adhruvam means that which is not eternal. The world is not eternal. The world is not eternal means this individual group is also not eternal. So if all these are not eternal, then we will not impose eternality to these. So such wise people will not impose eternality. Therefore, they will seek the eternal truth from beyond the world, not in the world. So when a person forgets Ishvara, he desires things of the world. So desire for worldly things is created. Na jātu kāmaḥ kāmānām upabhogena śāmyate havisha krishna vatmaiva bhūye eva abhivardate. So this is one shloka which is very famous in Manusmriti. So Manu says that kama, if we think by enjoying kama, by fulfilling desires, we can get rid of them, then that is wrong. The more a person fulfills a desire, it grows again and again. Bhūya eva abhivardate. It's like pouring ghee onto fire. So we may think ghee, if we pour ghee onto fire, then it will get extinguished. Fire doesn't get extinguished, but it burns vigorously, more vigorously. So that is what would happen. We cannot get rid of desires by just enjoying them. So here, when a person forgets Ishvara, he enters into desires, and desires go on, and thereby punarapi jananam punarapi maranam, thereby a person takes birth again and again. So that continues. So out of these desires, okay, it's fine. Okay, desires are there, birth and death are there, that's also fine. But what is the problem with that? What is the problem with attachment? What is the problem with duality? What is the problem with forgetting Ishvara? What is the problem with desires? The problem is that these desires leads to dvandva bhavam. These desires, so desires itself means, okay, here desires also means we don't desire for ourselves. So many times people think that, okay, if I don't desire for myself, I'm not a selfish man. That's not the case. Any desire that is away from Ishvara, dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. Dharma aviruddho. So dharma aviruddha. So that which is not against dharma, those desires I am. Not against dharma means the primary dharma of realization of moksha. So any desire for getting Ishvara, whether it is for the welfare of the world, whether it is welfare of the individual subset, or whether it's for the welfare of ourselves, it doesn't matter. Any desire will lead to dvandva bhavam. How does that happen? Because these desires are caused by forgetting Ishvara, which means these desires focus on duality being real. Which means that we are focusing on them to be real, them to give us eternal happiness. But we can't get eternal happiness. Yehi samsparshaja bhogaha dukkayonaya evati abhyantavanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. So whatever pleasure, sensual pleasures a person gets, that is that has a beginning and an end. Therefore, those are seeds of sorrow. So by desiring for oneself and the subset that we have, our subset of the world, a person gets into the dvandva bhavam. He gets happiness and sorrow, sukha dukkham. He becomes like the pendulum moving from one end to another end. So he is being tossed from one end to the other end. So from sukham to dukkham, dukkham to sukham, and that is what is life. So life is, so many people will give explanations, life, oh, that is life. Life, haven't you heard Amma say that life can be considered as a vehicle which has two wheels, one is sukham and other is dukkham? Yeah, very good, yes. Then you will have to face them and suffer. And while suffering, think that you are enjoying. It's also fine. So Amma gives the example of a dog. So a dog was once licking a bone. So it was very tasty. And then it went on licking. It tasted so good that like it went on, and after a few hours, it fell dead. So it was not licking a bone. It was licking its own body. There was some crack in its body. There was a wound, and through that, it was enjoying its own blood. So it tasted very good, but it didn't know that by enjoying it, it is exhausting itself, and that leads to its own death. So we enjoy worldly pleasures. If we look at life from on day one, when we take birth and we are young, we have all the energy in the world. So we are energetic, we can do quite a lot of things. But as days pass by, the more and more we enjoy things, the more and more weaker we get, and when we are old, we cannot enjoy at all. So there is laddu kept right in front of us, but we can't eat it because there is no teeth. And even if teeth is there, laddu will go in, but it cannot come out. And then it has like some operation has to be done to bring the laddu out because digestion problem. Kidney doesn't work good. So all those will happen. So if a person like quotes Mahatmas and says that life has both sukham and dukkham, therefore it's fine, let them enjoy. They think they are enjoying, they are really suffering. So all those statements of sukham and dukkham will come is just to temporarily pacify the mind and say that both happiness and sorrow are going to come. So go beyond them. So happiness is going to come, sorrow is going to come. Be a sakshi. How can you be a sakshi? Go beyond them. How can you go beyond them? Know that they are not real. Know that there is a reality, there is a non-dual reality behind this dual world. So these dual notions are temporary. There is a non-dual reality. Seek it. Seeking it doesn't mean a person should forsake all the happiness that he gets out of the world. No. Many people like Janaka and others have experience sensual pleasures. So experiencing sensual pleasures is not a problem at all. But forgetting Ishvara while experiencing sensual pleasure, which means that not remembering that the entire world is filled in and out by Ishvara, that is a problem. That will make a person suffer in the dual notions. That will make a person to be sent from this end to that end. So a person will be moved, like it will be like a ball being tossed from one end to the other end, like the tennis ball which goes from one court to the other court. Person will be tossed from sukham to dukkham until this body is so weak that it has the Atman has to let go of this body and take up the next body, and this will continue again. So that is where the Mundaka Upanishad says, Kaman yah kamayate manyamanah sa kama birjayate tatra tatra paryapta kamasya kritatmanastu ihaiva sarve praviliyanti kamaha. So So it's like it's a statement which explains this beautifully. So kaman yah kamayate manyamanah, that person who desires something very strongly, sa kama birjayate tatra tatra, there he gets that kama. That means he becomes the kama. He gets that, those desires. He fulfills those desires. Those desires get fulfilled. Okay, don't ask me, okay, then I have this desire of owning a BMW, why didn't I? So that means, we have already discussed that in the 7th chapter of Gita, where Krishna says that there is a factor to it, how strong Shraddha should be there with respect to that Kama. So that is very essential. Tasya tasya chalam Shraddham tameva vidadamyaham. So there is Shraddha. As to how strong is the desire, that is important. So, but a person will become that desire, but a jnani, paryapta kamasya kritatmana hatu, a person who has known the self, a person who has kept his duty, who has the duty, who thinks that the duty is towards the Atman, towards realizing the Atman, such a person, paryapta kamasya, paryapta kamaha, his all kamas, all desires are fulfilled, which means he doesn't have any desire, apta kamasya kaspraha, or can there be any attachment, any desire for apta kama, a person who has fulfilled his desires. So such a person, who wants to realize the self and thereby considers all desires as fulfilled, he doesn't overly desire anything. Whatever is achieved, he will go for it. Externally he may be seen as desiring things, but internally he knows that everything is Ishvara. Such a person, iha eva sarve praviliyanti kamaha, iha eva, here itself praviliyanti kamaha. So here itself it's kamaha, I guess. Kamaha, kamas. So he crosses over desires here itself. So that means here now we can get moksha. So moksha is not something that is to be achieved after like 50 years of Vedanta and then going to Brahma Loka, or going to an ashram, going to retreats, or being in some sacred places. No. Moksha can be achieved any places. Here, now, that is moksha. Moksha means here and now, this very minute. So if we don't do that, then we will get tossed between sukham and dukkham and we will suffer. But a wise person, wherever he is, it's not about sannyasam, wherever he is, he'll be ever blissful. Why? Because there is no dvandva bhavam. Why there is no dvandva bhavam? Because there are no desires. Why there are no desires? Because he hasn't forgotten the self. Why hasn't he forgotten the self? Because he doesn't have any attachment or aversion. Oh, if he doesn't have any attachment, if he doesn't have attachment and aversion, why doesn't he have that? Because he is devoid of ahankaram. There is no aham and mama, that individuality, the subset of the world is not there, because he sees everything as Ishvara. And this beautiful chain is being explained by Krishna in the 5th shloka. So we have already discussed the shloka, but we'll see the word meaning and then discuss a little bit into it. So nirmana moha jitasanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivratta kamaha dvandvair vimuktaha sukha dukkha samnyaihi gacchantya mudaha padam avyayam tat. So gacchanti amudaha. So gacchanti, achieve, amudaha. So mudas are there, amudas are there. Mudas are fools, amudas are unfools. If there is a word called unfool, means wise people, knowledge. So people who have knowledge are amudaha, people who have ignorance are mudaha. And what is mudaha and amudaha? Avajananti ma mudaha manushim tanam ashritam. So those are fools who consider me as limited to a form. that means amudaha are people who have knowledge, the knowledge that everything is Ishvara. The knowledge of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, the knowledge that this entire world is mere illusion, it is just Mithya, it is Namarupam, whatever is there is Ishvara alone. So this knowledge, whoever has this knowledge in his mind, he is Amudha. And whoever doesn't have it, they are Mudas. So what would Mudas do then? Mudas, fools, they don't know that everything is Ishvara, which means duality is there, which means they create a subset of the world. Ahankaram rises there. So that's why Ramana Maharshi says that Ahankaram, we have to always inquire into the Ahankaram. We have to go beyond the Ahankaram. The same thing is emphasized by Krishna. Yasya nahankrito bhavo buddhir yasya nalipyate atvapi saiman loka nayam hanti na hanyate. A person who doesn't have Ahankaram, whose buddhi doesn't stick onto duality, such a person, even though he may kill the entire world, he is not killing, because he is abiding in the knowledge that everything is Ishvara. So who can kill? Who to kill? What to kill? When to kill? How to kill? There is nothing at all for such a person. So it's the same thing. Ahamiti atmadhirya cha mameti atmiya dhira api artha shunye yada yasya satmatnyo bhavet tada. So atmatnyo bhavet tada. I'm sorry. Sanskrit is a bit tricky for me. So tada, tada means there. So when a person doesn't have aham and mama, so a person who is devoid of ahankaram, when ahankaram is shunyam, is as if not existing, that very minute he becomes a knower of the Atman. He realizes that very minute. So that is jnanam, is remembering that everything is Ishvara, and it becomes vijnanam. A person becomes a realized person when he always remembers that jnanam. He lives by the jnanam. So mudas are people who don't know that everything is Ishvara. Amudas are people who remember that everything is Ishvara. Matta paradaram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. There's nothing different from me, O Arjuna. So such amudaha, such wise people, people who have knowledge, avyayam padam gacchanti. So they attain the avyayam padam. So avyayam padam, padam means gold, avyayam means that which is immutable, or vyayam means decay, so here it would be undecaying. So that padam, which was explained in the previous shloka as yasmin gatana nivartanti bhuyah, that padam which is beyond the sorrowful world, that padam which is anandam, that padam which is advitiyam. So that padam, these people who will attain or achieve, who amudaha. So how will they achieve or attain that goal? So nirmana moha. The first step is when a person knows that everything is Ishvara, then there is no manam and moham. So manam and moham, manam means abhimanam, I am so, I, that notion, and moham. So moham means delusion. So delusion means delusion, delusion into the world. So that means delusion here means thinking that the world is real, considering duality as real. So mana moham, there is no manam, there is no aham and mama, and there is no moham as a result of that. So ahankaram leads to moham, considering duality as real. And when that happens, if that is there, then there is sangha dosham. So when a person sees duality and when considers duality as real, then sangam, a person gets attached. Sangam means attached or aversion, like association, that is the meaning here. So attachment or aversion gets created. And sangha dosham, it is called a dosham. It is a dosham because it leads us to dukkham. Krishna, We'll see in this shloka later that this will lead to dukkham. So sangha dosham. So if there is manam and moham, if there is ahankaram, then there is sangha dosham. But for a amuda, he sees everything as Ishvara. If everything is Ishvara, there is no mana moham, and therefore there is no jitta sangha dosham. Sangha dosham, sangha dosham jitta. Such a person has conquered sangha dosham. Means such a person has conquered sangham. Such a person has conquered association, attachment, and aversion to objects. And how does he do that? Like, he does that by adhyatma nitya. He does that, and after that, like adhyatma nitya. So adhyatma nitya means a person who is always focused on Ishvara, who realizes, who remembers that this entire world is Ishvara alone. So that is what a person would be led to. If attachment and aversion is not there, then he is focused on Ishvara. If he is focused on Ishvara, then can there be any desire? Desire is when a person doesn't have sukham. So all desires are based on the goal or the supreme goal of being happy. So here I am Atman. I am Atman means Atman. What is the nature of the Atman? Sachidananda Rupam. Sachidananda Rupa Atmana Anandam is there, then how can I desire? Apta Kamasya Kaspraha again. So there cannot be any desire for a person who has realized, who is remembering Advitiya Satyam, who is remembering that he is of the nature of eternal bliss. So there cannot be any kamam. Therefore, Vinivratta Kamaha. Nivratta Kamaha. Such a person has got over kamam. There is no kamam, there is no desire for such a person. So nivritta kamaha, nivrittam means got rid of or conquered or negated. Vinivrittam means visheshena nivrittam. So visheshena here means in a special way through adhyatma nitya. So adhyatma nitya ensures that vinivritta kamaha, such a person doesn't have any kamam at all. So, not having kamam is not the same as doing actions. So, doing actions, we can do actions without desiring anything. So, that is nishkama karmam is possible. So, many times that is possible because actions still go on. So, externally, not doing action, that is not the same as not desiring. So, though we say kamam, our desire gets converted into action, the opposite, it's our corollary is not valid. So many times the opposite, A equal to B, like if we say A leads to B, that doesn't mean B leads to A. That doesn't mean, like many times that it's the reverse is not true. So here the reverse of action, a person does action, therefore he needs to have desire. We can't say like that, we can't determine like that. So in the world, actions are possible wherein a person is unaffected, unattached to those actions. So how can we know that? The only way to know it is through kamam. Whether desires are there, means whether a person is getting affected by actions. So if a person does some action and he is affected by the fruit of the action, then that means he desired something. I hope this is clear. Like kamam means, like if kamam is there, definitely karmam will be there and a person will get affected by karma phala. But just because karmam is there doesn't mean kama is there. Karma can also be done in a nishkama way by offering to Ishvara. That is very much possible. Karma can also be, sorry, not kama, karma. Karma can be done in a nishkama way. Karma also can be done in a, like, sakshi bhavam, through sakshi bhavam as well. So here, kamas are there. That means desires are there. If desires are there for a person, then he will be tossed between the dvandva bhavam. So I have a desire, I try to implement or convert the desire or fulfill the desire by converting it into karma, into an action. So when I do that action, sometimes I'll be successful, sometimes I'll not be successful. So if I am successful, I become happy. If I'm not successful, I become sad. So that means such a person is tossed between happiness and sorrow, or such a person has dvandva bhavam. But here, due to adhyatma nitya vinivratta kamaha, there is no desire. Desires have been completely removed because the person is getting anandam. So if desires are completely removed, then such a person is devoid of dvandva bhavam. And that's what Krishna says, the last as dvandvair vimuktaha, dvandvaihi vimuktaha. Such a person is liberated of dvandva bhavam, like sukha dukkha samyehi. So sukha dukkham, like sukha dukkham. So this also includes heat, cold, etc. So many times success, failure, heat, cold, often we are affected by all those. Like when it is very cold, we said, oh, it is very cold, it's very cold. When it is hot, we say, oh, it is very hot in here. Yes, Mahatmas like Amma also may display all those characteristics, but though they display it externally, internally they are not affected the least. Ramana Maharshi gives a funny incident in his life. So once Ramana Maharshi was sitting on a rock, what is the right word, right usage, I don't know exactly, sitting on a rock, on a rock. So Ramana Maharshi was sitting on a rock in Tiruvannamalai, and it was very cold. It was probably January or February, I guess. So it was very cold. So a person, like, he was sitting, he was not moving, he was just sitting like an idol, like a stone. So one person, like, he saw a devotee come by. It's not a devotee, a person who was visiting Tiruvannamalai. He saw Ramana Maharshi, he had a coconut in his hand. He went past Ramana Maharshi. Immediately Ramana Maharshi heard a sound, some sound, and the next thing he knew is like water on his head, and that too it was very cold. So Ramana Maharshi says it was very cold, and then like the coconut water, the person thought that I'm a lingam, I'm an idol, therefore like he worshipped me. So though Ramana Maharshi there says that, oh, it was very cold, and then the water, it was too cold. Is he affected by it? No, not the least. So how can we know whether such a person is affected or not? It's very simple. Put the person to such a test. Take such a Mahatma create a condition, or create the surroundings so that such a Mahatma faces the adverse situation, and then see like whether they become mad. So often if we go out, so we are walking outside, and when we are walking it's very cold. So then people start scolding, oh, you told we should walk, if only we hadn't walked, I'm feeling very cold now. We get mad. So it's not when we face these dvandva bhavam, we get really mad, we go out of our mind. But these Mahatmas, they try to avoid this dvandva bhavam as much as possible. So Amma, we can't see Amma like walking out in the cold. Amma will not do that. So only fools will say that, oh, I am not affected by cold, therefore like let me be outside, let me stay outside in the cold. Nobody will do that, only a fool will do that. Mahatmas, people who have conquered, who have gone beyond, who have reached the state from which there is no return, they will not do such foolish things. But if they are made to face such a situation, they will not get mad. They'll be ever blissful. So even when Ramana Maharshi had tumor, and during his last days he used to shout. So the attendant used to say that he used to shout at night that it's paining, but still, did the pain overpower him? Did he start cursing people around him? Did he get mad over with people that, okay, call the doctor, like why aren't you taking care of me? No, he didn't do that. So even when Chinmayananda, Tapovan Maharaj, Chinmaya's guru, Tapovan Maharaj had throat cancer, once he like he left Palakkad, I think Palakkad or somewhere in Kerala, he left there to be in the Himalayas. He never stepped down from Himalayas. So he, and Chinmaya once goes to him during his last days and says, "Oh Guru, why can't you come to Delhi and we can have an operation?" So he says, "No, I don't want all those." So even when he faced throat cancer, he faced it like with bliss. So that is the difference. That is the big difference. The big difference is in the mental attitude, which gets reflected externally as well. If our mind is very sad, that will get reflected in our face. If our mind is very angry, that will get reflected in our face. So if mentally we are blissful, so externally we may. A Mahatma externally will not get into adverse situation. He will try to avoid those situations as much as possible. But still, if by fate, if situation arises that he has to face it, then such a Mahatma will never be blissful. So happiness, sorrow, dvandva bhavam, and success, failure, praising, and foul crying. So we have experienced ourselves, people going to Amma and praising Amma, people going to Amma and shouting at Amma. We know, if we look at our own lives, we will know that people going to Amma and shouting at her, people going to Amma and praising her, both people are taken the same way. So because dvandva bhavam is not at all there, and therefore such a person is ever blissful. So, and this is being explained beautifully in the fifth chapter, this state where a person is ever blissful, as kama krodha viyukta is to, kama krodha viyuktanam yatinam yata chetasam abhito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. So a person who has gone beyond kama krodham and realized the atman around him, bliss will be dancing. So bliss, that is the only thing that we can experience with a person who has gone beyond the sorrowful world. So these are steps that Krishna says. We have discussed this in depth, but it all starts with individuality, or little further considering duality as real. So a person amudaha doesn't have the notion that the world is real. He knows that the world is just an illusion of names and forms. Duality is just nama rupam, advitiya satyam, advaitam alone is real, and therefore he doesn't have mana moham. He is nirmana moha, and since he doesn't have manam and moham, he doesn't have sanga dosham. Yata sanga dosha, he has conquered sanga dosham. And he is ever focused in the Atman, Adhyatma Nithya. He is ever focused that everything is Ishvara alone, and therefore there is no kamam. Vinivritta kamaha, and thereby dvandvair vimukta sukha dukkha samjayihi. So these are the steps through which a person can achieve or attain that avyayam padam. Undecaying, ever blissful state. So if it's very easy to judge ourselves, if our desire is getting reduced, do we still have mana moham? Again, mana moham or ahankaram doesn't mean I am doing it. It's not just that, it is aham and mama. If we think we have to help somebody, if we think there is kartavyam, if we are bound by some duties, whatever be those duties, then we have desires left. So duty, fulfilling duty, whenever a person says duty is there itself, we can say that there is some desire. Because there is nothing called duty in life. Duty means is synonymous with desire. There is some desire. And Krishna clearly says, name parthasti kartavyam trishulokeshu kinchana. Oh Partha, in the three worlds I don't have any duty at all. Kinchana, not even the least. But still, na anavaptam avaptavyam. I don't have anything to attain that I don't have. I have anandam. What else would I want to achieve? But still, vartaye vacha karmani. Still, I do actions externally without any kamas. So, if kamas, if desires are there, if we think there is some duty, And that duty is not the primary kartavyam, primary dharma of realization, then, which means that we will have sukha dukkham, will be tossed between sukham and dukkham. We are mudhas, and mudhas will never realize. Mudhas can never be blissful. So at least after learning this, shloka, we should evaluate ourselves and try to get rid of kamas. And that all starts with creating a subset of the world. Nirmana moha. We have to become nirmana moha. We have to get rid of ahankaram. This person is there, that person is there, I have to do this. So a Mahatma will never give any answer or reason that, oh, I had to do this because I like the person. Oh, I should do this for him. There'll be nothing like that. Oh, why didn't you, if somebody asks Amma, Amma, why didn't you come yesterday? Amma will never say, I didn't come because like because Amrita Surupa, Bhalu was not well, therefore I didn't come. Can we expect any such response from Amma? No. Such response will not come. So many times if we make such statements as, oh, I can't go behind moksha now because I have some duty towards my parents. So there itself, kama is there, which means dvandva bhavam is there, which means we are mudhas, which also means we will not get anandam, however we may strive. Even if we go to Kashi, even if we go to Paramartha, or even if we go to Amma, we cannot get anandam other than ceasing to be mudhas and following whatever Krishna has said here. It all starts with nirmana moha. Creating a subset of the world is the cause of all problems. Get rid of that. Automatically, we will be able to see the next steps being followed clearly. If we are attached to our father, then automatically Sangha Dosham is there. So the next step is not followed. If Sangha Dosham is there, Adhyatma Nitya is not there. We are not focused on the Atman, because a person who is focused on the Atman remembers that everything is Ishvara. He will never say my father and cry. So Adhyatma Nitya is gone. If Adhyatma Nitya is gone, then Kama is there. Desire or duty to help people. So Vinivritta Kama is also gone, which means Dvandvair Vimukta, Sukha Dukkha Sanyaya also gone. That means a person will be tossed between Sukham and Dukkham. Such a person will never realize. Such a person will always be sorrowful, whatever happens. Even if the entire world vanishes. Interestingly, if the entire world vanishes, still the person will be in suffering, still the person will have sorrow. So we have to strive to get over ahankaram by always remembering that everything is Ishvara. So sarvam Ishvaramayam, whatever duality is there seen, that is just namarupam, Ishvara alone is real. That should always be there in our mind, so that we achieve that avyayam padam, that ananda padam, if we can say term it something like that, anandam, if we want, which is the ultimate goal of life. If we want anandam, then we have to remember at all times that everything is Ishvara, duality is just namarupam. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to achieve that avyayam padam in this very birth itself, rather than not wasting one precious human birth. We'll continue later. Namaskar.